The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. If you are listening to this podcast, it's probably Friday, December 3rd. If you're watching the podcast live on YouTube, that's right. Every Thursday at 1 p.m., we do our Best Bets Pick Show live on YouTube. That would mean it's Thursday, December the 2nd. And we're going to break down all of Week 12's picks and best bets. Joining me to do so is return to the podcast. After I think it was in your rider, in your contract, you demanded an absence. You need Thanksgiving off to drive around the state of Florida, see family, see in-laws. Pete Prisco back with myself and RJ White.
Yeah, no, the show was moved because you were driving around North Carolina I couldn't do it with you. So yeah, don't blame me for any of your being forced to do stuff, moving the podcast, because you were forced to do it.
He big time to Sydney, RJ.
Completely big time. We missed you so much. I almost didn't go on. I didn't know how I could handle it without you. But, we persevered. We made it through. And I had a terrible week. And I'm so glad you're back.
Yeah. And see, nobody will everybody. Read the
Brinson
comments.
Had a good week. Brinson had a good week.
Getting a little hot over here. Nobody is going to read the comments that said the pick show was better without you, Pete. We will not read those comments on this podcast.
Well, if that's the case, I can easily skip every week. Read them.
Debo's like, you listen to speed. Debo, I was like, no, he'll quit.
Debo, read one to me. Just give me one. Type it up there. Yeah, I know you type it up there.
Wow, this show was remarkably better, taller, more handsome without Pete Prisco.
Yeah, well, that's a guy being a wise ass. But give me something.
They were in the YouTube. He's going to have to dig through last week's YouTube comments. By the way, if you have
a – I will gladly – look, if they gladly want me off the show, I will gladly get off if they do. I'll do that for the people. I'm a man of the people.
My conspiracy theory is Pete's out there putting in YouTube comments trying to get himself kicked off the show. See, this show's way better without Pete. Get him out of there.
That's right. The people want you gone.
That's an idea.
The boss folk want you to stick around. If you are watching the show live on YouTube or just rewatching at any point on YouTube, smash the like button right there and hit the subscribe button if you're not subscribed already. Also, did I say week? Let us know. Isn't it week 12? Is it week 12 or week 13?
It's week 13. Lucky number 13.
I think I wrote 12 and everything I've been doing. Oh well. Let us know your favorite week 13 bet. And if you want to get alerts when we go live, hit that bell button as well. We go live after every single primetime game. Plus, in those primetime game shows, we give away hats. Brinson sucks hats. So you can win a Brinson sucks hat. I didn't suck last week, though. Week 12, 4-3 of my best bets. Pete went 3-3. RJ, 2-4. The parlay didn't hit. No duh. RJ, 38-33 on the season. Pete, 39-36 on the season. I'm clawing my way out of this hole. 34-45 on the season. I'm going to keep clawing. I think we got a big week. And this is a tough week. I liked the last 2 weeks a lot because the spreads were sort of tighter. And I think you can identify, like if you can identify who, I mean, this sounds stupid, but if you can identify who's going to win the game in these tighter spreads, it's a lot easier to make picks against the spread. This week, there's a ton of big spreads, a ton of road chalk. You know, like it's a difficult week. But we're going to start with an unbelievable game on Monday night. The fate of the AFC.
What about the parlay? You're not going to recap the parlay that didn't hit that you guys didn't.
We're 12 weeks in. It just hasn't hit. We have to do a 10-team parlay in week 18 to just get.
The people are broke. They can't buy their Christmas presents. That's all right. You can't find them anyways.
You really can't find any Christmas presents.
No.
Like, apparently, it's impossible to find a Switch anywhere. Can't find a Switch. Can't find PS5. Can't find it. Can't do it. Pats and Bills. Bills are -2.5, over under 43.5. The Bills at 13.1, and the Patriots +12.2, rank first and second in points per game differential this season. They also rank first and second in scoring defense on the season. Josh Allen, the only quarterback in the history of the Buffalo Bills to beat Bill Belichick twice. The Pats are 3-4 against Buffalo without Tom Brady and 32-3 versus the Bills when Tom Brady was there. Do the Bills keep this hot streak going, Pete, on Monday night?
I think they'll win the game. I don't love this game, though. I really don't. I think it's a tough game to pick. With no Tre'Davious White, we don't know how they're going to play without him. That concerns me. On the other side of the ball, the offensive line has been bad for Buffalo, and the defensive front for New England has been outstanding. And so that concerns me. But I do think that Buffalo will find a way on offense to get it going. They've really been, and we saw signs of it last week. They were patient last week against the Saints. Remember, they're undergoing the same type of situation that Kansas City's had to deal with, where they take away the big play and dare you to play, run the ball and play the short passing game. And he did it the other day. So I'm going to take the Bills. I don't love this game. It's a tough pick for me. So I'll take Buffalo minus the points, though.
Buffalo getting a few offensive linemen back too, so that helps your pick. I'm on the other side. I love the Patriots at +3. And I still like it at +2.5, but I'm going to use them in a teaser, tease it up to +8.5. I don't think the Bills run away from this team with how well the Patriots are playing. I don't know that Buffalo is the better team right now. I have New England higher in my power ratings. New Orleans is getting beat by everyone. I don't think you get credit for beating Trevor Siemian at this point. And New England is beating everyone. Defensive have shown how to slow down Buffalo's offense, and you know they were able to have success against the Saints defense, but If other defenses like Indy can figure it out, I think Belichick can probably figure it out. He'll look at the tape and he'll figure out what to do and limit what they can do. New England's defense best in the league right now, 26 points allowed the last four games combined. And the offense can probably run on Buffalo's defense. I mean, Indy did. Star Lotulelei is probably going to be back, so maybe it's a little tougher. But the pass game will be easier because Tre'Davious White's out, and they don't have anybody nearly to fill that hole in their defense. So home field hasn't been worth three this year. So when it was three, you know, loved Patriots 2.5. I mean, I still like the Patriots. I think they're going to win the game, but definitely tease it up. I have it teased to +8.5 in my teaser.
Yeah, I got the Patriots as a best bet at +2.5 is annoying. I obviously prefer three. I do think they win the game. And if you're watching the show or listening to the podcast and you're going to bet it, it's currently Bills -2.5 -120. So you can take the 2.5 +100, take the money. I mean, I don't know, or do you tell me, is it stupid to buy it to +3 -1 my XB -115?
If you only have to pay 5 cents to get to the -115, then, or I guess it's 15 cents minus 115.
Yeah, +2.5 +100.
So little too much on 15 cents. If you can pay the 10 cents to get there, then I think that's fine. Okay. But otherwise, just kind of wait for it to tip to three. You probably should have got it in beginning of the week. You know, that's when I got it up on Sportsline at three. I think at that point, just play the money line. I mean, if Patriots are hanging in that game, they're probably going to win.
Yeah. Pats lead the NFL in scoring offense, 35.2 points per game, and defense, 10.5 points per game allowed over the last six games when they've gone on this streak just to surge up to the top of the NFL. The Bills swept the Pats for the first time since 1999 last year, including a 36-9 beatdown on Monday Night Football in New England in Week 16. And I think that game has to be a motivating factor for Bill Belichick. And I know it's, you know, whatever, Pete doesn't believe that people – get motivated for football games, but they embarrassed Belichick.
That's not what I said.
You're just for revenge games. This is a Bill Belichick revenge game. The Bills embarrassed the Patriots last year. They sent a message saying, this is our division now. Well, Bill Belichick has a new message. Not so fast, my friend. This team is just eerily reminiscent of the 2001 Pats. I mean, they have a great defense with names that people don't really, they're not household names. They run the football with a myriad running backs with different skill sets, and they have this young quarterback who just makes clutch plays and is good, you know, is very efficient and doesn't make a ton of mistakes. You know, not a huge volume guy, Mac Jones, -300 for rookie of the year right now. And this would probably cement it. If they go into Buffalo and beat the Bills and more or less sew up the division, I think Mac Jones locks up rookie of the year. And I think they go do it. I think Belichick wants a little revenge, little vengeance. I think the Patriots are just the best team in football right now. They're consistent. They're going to pound the ball on the Bills, and they're going to win the game outright. So give me the Pats as the best bet. WFT, coming off a huge LFG game for Ron Rivera on Monday night as they held off the Seahawks. They're headed to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. The Raiders, Pete, are 2.5-point favorites with a total of 49.5.
Yeah, this was another one that was tough for me, but I really love the over in the game. I think this one's going to go up and down the field. I think both defenses have issues. Even though Washington's played better, that was more of a function of Russell Wilson not being able to throw the football. You know, he can't throw it. I mean, he should have probably rested a couple more weeks before he went back out there. And they are playing better in the secondary. I got to give them credit for that. The corners are playing much better. They still don't rush the passer well without their guys on the edge, and so that's concerning. And Derek Carr was good last week. I mean, they threw the football around. Getting that speed element involved in DeSean Jackson helps the offense. So I like the over more than the game. But if I had to play the game, I would probably play the Raiders in this spot.
Yeah, the three-game win streak for Washington, that D's been playing better, you know, during that whole win streak. Now, obviously, that Bucs game is the key one where they held the Bucs down. So I think it's more than just, you know, what they saw last week in getting to play a limited offense. Heineke's been solid at quarterback. The offense just got key players back in Logan Thomas and Curtis Samuel. They'll play more moving forward. They kind of limited them a little bit in their first game back. Scherf return versus Tampa Bay. The run game had two big days after that game. You know, they didn't do well. I mean, they had 90 rushing yards against Tampa, which is pretty good for Tampa. But then they did well the next two games. I don't think it's a coincidence you get Scherf back and you can run the ball now. Las Vegas D has not been playing well. They can't really count on the pass offense to succeed with Waller hurt. They've been inconsistent, even though Carr had a good game last week. Look ahead was 1.5. They moved it up a point, I guess, because Vegas beat Dallas, you know, in this big upset pick, which upsets are going to happen. It was a great win for them. But I don't think that improved the quality of their team 1 point, and then you just leave Washington alone because Washington's look pretty solid too. So I think there's value playing Washington back on 2.5. I think the line should be closer to a pick 'em, but I threw it in my teaser, another plus 2.5 to move it up to 8.5. So my teaser is Washington and New England both at 8.5 this week.
Yeah, big fan of that teaser.
Yeah, I like that.
I like it so much, RJ, that I won't bet it with my personal money to ensure that it stays.
Look at RJ. RJ's like, no. Oh,
thank God. No, please.
Now I am going to bet it. So make sure that we're – that was my – just make sure that Brinson's not on it so I can play it.
I'm not watching. I do like New England. But I think the trends sort of favor Washington here. Teams on short rest, Washington, playing teams on extended rest, Las Vegas, are 4-0-1 straight up the season and 8-0-1 in the past 9 games overall. Maybe that's a more of a coincidence, but an interesting trend to think about. Washington, 3-0 straight up on short rest under Ron Rivera, and after starting the year 2-6 and allowing 28.4 points per game, they are 3-0 since their bye and allowing just 18.3 points per game. The defense is playing a lot better. It's weird, too, with Chase Young leaving. The Raiders have failed to cover 7 straight games as a favorite, and they are 0-2 straight up against the spread in 2021 on extended rest. Given all those trends, I lean Washington. Actually, I kind of like a Washington Pats money line parlay. I'm not going to make it a best bet, but I do like Washington a lot in this spot. Okay, Cardinals -8 at Bears, over under 45.5. Pete, the Bears are 0-3 straight up and against the spread as a home dog this year, and 0-10 against the spread versus teams against above 500 since the start of 2019, the longest streak since 2000. Can they shake that trend?
I looked at our picks on this, and oh, no. Oh, no. I feel for the Bears fans. I like the Bears. I just think this number is bloated. We don't know what the Cardinals are going to be like with those guys coming off injuries, with Murray, you know, coming off his injury, and also with Hopkins coming off his. And I just think the number is too high. Chicago will be able to, I think, run the ball a little bit in this game. And their defense is a good defense. It's not a great defense anymore, particularly without Mac out there, but it's a good defense, and I think they'll hang around. I'm going to take the big bloated number. I'm going to take the Bears, and I think that you guys are too, which might be a problem for all of us.
Yeah, the market agrees with you, Pete. It's down to 7.5 now. I agree that at 8 was too much. I wouldn't have made the line any higher than 7, so at +8. I have a best bet on Chicago, too. Arizona expects to have Kyler back. We don't know if for sure he's going to play. You know, he's been limited in practice to start the week. We assume he's going to play, but, you know, we thought he was going to play before this, too, and it hadn't happened. Not sure about Field dealing with cracked ribs. He did limited practice as well, but he didn't practice with the 1, so probably likely to sit Fields. I would like this game more if Fields was playing. Should be cold and windy. That favors Chicago. Chicago as a team that wants to run and is good versus the run against, you know, Arizona, a team with Kyler Murray, better passing game weapons, probably wants to throw it a little more. So that might slow them down, keep this a little bit lower scoring, closer game. We've seen plenty of teams struggle out of the bye, and Arizona has the Rams on Monday Night Football next week. I mean, it's tough to say coming out of a bye at the look-ahead spot because you've already had a week off, but you know that's what they're looking at, is if we can put the nail in the coffin of the Rams in this division, we're going to win the division with how the Rams are playing. So I think this is a bad spot for them. Chicago could take them a little bit off guard. Maybe Arizona only wins by 3 or 4 instead of 7 or 8. So I think there's value on taking Chicago. I'm also on them.
Yeah, I'm on the Bears too. Oh, sorry.
Real quick, RJ, you said that you think they're better off playing with Fields.
Yeah, over Dalton. I mean, he gives them an element to the offense.
I think Dalton did not look good against Detroit. I think it's smart to play Fields because you have to get ready. But I think Dalton's a much better passer right now. Much better.
Fields. I think in this game you're going to want Fields. In this particular game.
I want Fields too. The Bears, 8-3 to the under this season. 39.4 points per game total in their games on average, which is the second lowest behind only the Broncos. So maybe there's a little value to the under here. I know that Kyler's coming back off that injury, and he tweeted that weird Avengers. RJ, you're a Marvel guy, right? Don't you like Marvel?
I mean, I've watched most of them.
Okay, never mind. Don't worry about it. He tweeted a Thanos gif, and it makes no sense relative to like what he was trying to say. If he was trying to say I'm back, like Thanos at no point is like I'm back. Like that's not the thing. Like, I don't get what Kyler was trying to do. Maybe the Cliff Kingsbury contract stuff is a little bit of a distraction for them. I don't buy that. Pete, do you buy that he's going to Oklahoma, by the way?
No, Oklahoma. This is an agent trying to stir up,
a raise and an extension, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's gonna get it.
Of course, he's gonna get it. Bidwell's gonna cough it up. Kyle probably.
It's funny though. If his record was flipped right now, he'd be fired.
Yeah. If he was 2-9, yes, he would be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's like Oklahoma's gonna hire the guy who just got fired by Texas Tech 3 years ago. I don't think so. Anyway, I like the Bears as well. I think when you look at the number of points, number of plays that are going to be run, and the Cardinals are not scared. They have a defense best under Cliff so far. I think they're giving up under 20 points per game. This should be a low scoring affair. So I want the 8 points if I can get it. And obviously if we're all on this, that means we're going to automatically put it in the parlay. The first loser.
There you go. We're all done with that one.
The Eagles at the Jets. Eagles -6.5 with an over under of 45. The Eagles, by the way, 11-0 all time versus the Jets. It's the most wins without a loss in any head to head matchup in NFL history. And the Eagles have won all 5 meetings since 2000 by 7+ points. Pete, does that entice you to take the Jets?
Yes, it does. I'm taking the Jets. Where is Hurts in terms of his health? I know he's practicing.
He said he's good to play.
Yeah, but where is he though? You know, I mean, there's still some doubt about him, and that could possibly mean Gardner Minshew on the field, which solidifies the Jets pick if he shows up. But seriously, excuse me, Hurts didn't play very well last week. I mean, I think, in fact, he was awful. And I just think the Jets will take something from that and limit him again. And I don't think that, you know, Zach Wilson was better last week. He was much better. He's not good, but he was much better. And that's a step in the right direction. I think he's going to grow in confidence. I think this number is a little too high, which is why I'm going to take the Jets as one of my best bets. And I'm probably going to regret this. It's one of those picks you make and you go, oh, and then like Sunday afternoon, you'll be going, yeah, why did I make that pick? But I'm going to make it anyways. I'm going to take the points in the Jets.
Yeah, I think you regret it. I have a best bet on Philly -6.5. It's up to 7 now in the market, I think, because of Hurts moving up, looking like he's going to play. That's what moved it up. Philly only lost by 6 on their worst possible day for the offense against the Giants. That tells you how well the defense is playing right now. And the Jets offense, I don't think they look good at all. I know Wilson might be playing a little bit better, but considering how bad he was before his injury, I mean, that's pretty easy to look better there. And that was a bad Houston team. You know, I like fading the Jets coming off a win that probably they might not have deserved. They didn't play great in that game, I don't think. I know it was against a bad team. Look ahead was Philly -7. So if you get 6.5, you're getting value falling from the key. key number if these teams are fundamentally the same as they were last week. Hurts says he'll play. I'll trust him. I think you start the line at 7 versus the Jets with any solid team because I don't think the Jets are very good. So, yeah, I love getting -6.5. It's the best bet for me.
I lean towards the Jets here, and I actually think in my picks post, I picked the Jets to win the game, which I'm sure there's no way I could possibly regret picking the Jets to beat the Eagles, given their terrible run defense.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm not really sure. And then you see like all the trends, and it's like 11-0 all time against the Jets. The Eagles first in rush yards per game, second in yards per rush, first in rush touchdowns. The Jets are 27th in rush yards per game allowed, 26th in yards per rush allowed, and dead last in rush TDs allowed. The Eagles run on 50% of their plays. But if Hurts is banged up, are they really good? I mean, are they really going to send a banged up Jalen Hurts out there and have him run a bunch? Like, they might try and make him pass first in this game and just try and pound the ball. The Jets can load the box and force Hurts to beat him deep. I like the Jets to pull off the upset. And I'm not just doing that so Debo's team can win and get back in the playoff hunt. Jalen Hurts, by the way, last week, second worst single game passer rating by a starting quarterback this season. The only one who was worse. Can you name it? It's pretty easy.
Who was it?
Zach Wilson.
Cam last week. He went 5 of 20. Oh, Cam. 5.8 passer rating last week. Jalen Hurts was 17.5. 4.2 yards per attempt. Oh, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's really, really bad. If he can't run, it's going to be a problem for them. So I think that is worth watching his status on the injury report. It is Christmas party season, which means you need to be looking your best when you go out. Like, I have New Year's plans. People, you know, every single, like, commercial you see is like, welcome, everybody's back, we're out seeing people, you know, you're seeing folks for the first time, seeing your friends, seeing your family for the first time in a while. If you are, you're going to want to look sharp, and that's where Indochino comes in. Indochino can get your closet where you want it to be before the new year start, or maybe you just want to gift a wardrobe upgrade to someone you care about with an Indochino gift card. I have shopped on Indochino.com, and I can tell you it's amazing. I don't like seeing people, I don't like talking to people, I don't like interacting with people. I like interacting with the internet and interacting with websites. And with Indochino, you can do that. You can measure yourself. It's like you're surprised at how many different measurements you actually need to figure out how to perfectly custom tailor a shirt, a suit, whatever you want to buy. And Indochino.com allows you to do that. If for any reason you want to go to a showroom, you can go to Nordstrom.com and check that out with Indochino. They offer completely custom fitted suits, shirts, casual wear, and more at surprisingly affordable prices. Every piece is made to your exact measurements, and you can customize every detail. You want to – what's your middle initial, Pete? What are you, P?
S.
PSP? You want a PSP on your pocket there? A little monogram on the shirt cuff? You can do it. It's included. The best part, Indochino suits start from just $429 and shirts from $79 with all customizations included. And – to help you guys out, we're going to give you $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code PICK6 at Indochino.com. Give yourself a custom closet revamp with Indochino, or give the gift of great style with an Indochino gift card. $50 off any purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Use promo code PICK6, PICKSIX. Go revamp your closet. All right. The Ravens at the Steelers. Frankly, kind of a shocking line. I guess it's not because the Steelers are terrible, and I think TJ Watt's already ruled out for this game. But how often do you see an AFC North massive matchup, huge playoff division implications, and you've got the home team, especially Ravens Steelers? This is a Nance Romo, Tracy Wolfson special, and the Steelers are catching 4.5 at home with a total of just 44, Pete.
And you won't need the 4.5. How about that?
Ooh.
Yeah. I think the Steelers are – I know they're not as good as they've been, but that's a prideful group, and Mike Tomlin will get them back playing good football. And it's not like the Ravens are lighting anybody up. When was the last time the Ravens – you came away from a Ravens game and you said, they look really good. You know what it was? It was when they beat the Chargers in the middle of October. Mm. They have not been a good football team. And look, the Steelers haven't either. But you're going to give me 4.5 points with the Steelers at home, I'm taking it. And I think they're going to get back to being a physical team, because that's all they heard all week is that they're not physical, they're not physical, they're not physical. I think they're going to play well in this game. I think their season is on the line in this game. And I think they're actually going to win the game outright. So I'm going to take the 4.5 as one of my best bets.
Yeah, I want to say it'll be a low-scoring AFC North battle that the dog with more than three covers, but I said that last week with two games, and it did not work out. And so I'm just going to automatically think it's going to be a close game there. Pittsburgh's defense right now looks as bad as their offense, even accounting for injuries. Watt's on the COVID list. You know, it looks like he's missing the game. Baltimore's offense is struggling with Lamar at quarterback over the last 3 weeks when he has played. I'm more confident it'll come together for them than it will for the Steelers. We saw the Steelers fall off last year at this time when they started 11-0. They're obviously not as good this year, but you know, I don't know that Ben's going to play very well down the stretch. And I can't play the Steelers right now. I think the line's too high for the Ravens. I can't play the Steelers, so I'm just going to stay away.
Yeah, I picked the Steelers against the spread for my picks post, but I'm sort of with you, RJ. It's the Steelers are coming off back-to-back losses of the Bengals and Chargers. They've allowed 40-plus points in back-to-back games for the first time since 1989. Prior to Week 11, they'd gone 40 straight games without allowing 30-plus points, which is actually the longest such streak since the 92 through 95 Browns. Steelers defense over the past 2 weeks, 41 points per game, worst in the NFL. 451.5 yards per game allowed, worst in the NFL. And 16% pressure percentage, worst in the NFL. They are playing terrible. But I cannot possibly take the Ravens laying 4.5 points on the road against Pittsburgh in this matchup. It's a late window. Again, it is the feature game on CBS. The Steelers know what's on the line here. And when you look at Big Ben and Mike Tomlin as dogs in their career against the spread, since the start of 2018, the Steelers are 5-0 against the spread as an underdog, 4-1 straight up. Tomlin in his career, 11-3-2 against the spread. That's 79% as an underdog. And Big Ben, 8-2 straight up and against the spread as an underdog. I mean, this is just a team, like, this is just a prime spot to play the Steelers, but they've been so bad lately. I can't make them a best bet. I do agree with you though, Pete. Maybe this is one we revisit if we don't get to three for the parlay, because we all like the Steelers, but RJ and I are just petrified of how bad the Steelers are.
I don't like the Steelers. I like staying away.
I like staying away as well. The Vikings -7 at the Lions, an over under of 46.5. Was it the Vikings have played every single one of their games? Every single one of their losses have been a one score loss. And I believe all but one of their games this season has been a one score game. Does that trend continue, Pete?
It does. And I'm going to add the Lions to my Jets pick. If you can believe that.
That's some stinking dogs.
It really is. Look, it was a tough card for me this week. And so I decided to take some dogs. And when I took the Lions, they've been in games. They play hard. Look, they're not a good team, but you're getting more than a touchdown at home. And this is back-to-back road games for the Vikings. And you know, the Dalvin Cook situation is, you know, one that should be one that bears watching and probably will, you know, hurt their offense in a big way. I know Madison's a good back, but he's not Cook. And Kirk Cousins was awful last week. I mean, he really was. When it was time to make plays, he couldn't make any. And so for that reason, I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but for that reason, I'm going to take the Lions. So in that situation, you give me more than a touchdown, I'm taking Detroit.
Is this a big game for Kirk Cousins, Pete?
No.
Kind of.
It's just the smallest possible game you can have playing the Lions. So I think
Cousins is going to win to get in the playoffs.
31 of 34 for 800 yards for Cousins. Like, he's just going to go off. No, Detroit, I mean, they're a bad team. They haven't won. But they continue to hang in there on the scoreboard and cover, despite being severely outplayed in the box score. That was actually the story of the close loss to Minnesota earlier this year. I think it was 19 to 17. Minnesota should have won by more in that game, the way they outplayed him in that game. But like you said, Minnesota's only won by seven more than once this year, more than seven. Can't run away from teams for whatever reason. With Cook, I actually think it could be a positive for the offense. And maybe they don't run it as much. They throw it to the best players on their team. They get Jefferson and Thielen more looks, because when you're targeting those guys a bunch, you're going to score a lot of points because they have one of the best receiver tandems in the league, and you should play like it. While on the other side, Detroit probably playing without Swift, and that they don't really have anybody to fill in with that. Jamal Williams, I don't think, comes close to what Swift gives them in the offense. Detroit hasn't scored more than 19 points since week one, while Minnesota has scored 26 plus the last 4 weeks. With how these offenses are playing, I want to see Minnesota, you know, Detroit will keep it up and keep covering, but feels like a 27-17, 27-14 type of game. So my lean would be to Minnesota in this one.
I am going to take the Lions as a best bet in this spot. They are 7-4 against the spread, despite their 0-10-1 straight up record. By the way, that that they are on a 15-game losing streak right now. It's the second longest in franchise history. Which the amazing thing about the Lions is that since 2000, so we're talking 21 years, which is a long time. But I mean, you know, they have three losing streaks of 13 games or more. Three of them in 21 years. That is crazy. Like, that is an insane amount of losing. It's just a terrible team. But 6-1 against the spread this season as underdogs of four plus points. They've also scored, by the way, fewer than 20 points in 10 straight games, which is the longest such streak since the 2005 Ravens. The under has hit in 8 of their past 9 games. So that might be something to look at. But I just think you look at this team and how hard they're trying, how hard they're playing. They're not going to quit on Dan Campbell. I mean, they might quit, you know, once the season is over and, you know, maybe in like week 17, but like they're still fighting out there. And as Pete points out, with no DeAndre Swift is a problem, but Jamal Williams can fill in and be capable for them. You know, the difference is, I don't want to say it's negligible, but I think Jamal Williams can have a big game against the Vikings. And this is just a prime backdoor spot where the Lions are leading. The Vikings come back, they take a big 10-point lead, and the Vikings come through the back door at the last second. So I got the Lions as the best bet. I mean, there are some rancid dogs out there. That's a home dog, and they're on going to extend to rest. Jaguars at the Rams. The Rams are minus 13 in the spot. The over-under is 48. All the talk for a week has been how – potential future Hall of Famer Matthew Stafford is dealing with injuries, Pete. He's got injuries to his, I think it's his shoulder, his knee, his hip, his back. I don't even know what they are. Troy Aikman mentioned it 72 times on the broadcast. And the Rams are on a 3-game losing streak. It is it's a problem that Matthew Stafford's not playing well, but they have lost to pretty good teams in San Francisco, Tennessee, and Green Bay, and now they got a pretty bad team in the Jacksonville Jaguars coming to Los Angeles. Do you like the Rams laying almost 2 touchdowns?
Is his Hall of Fame candidacy going out the window now, Brinson?
It's shriveling.
Brinson had him in the Hall of Fame before.
It was a grape, now it's a raisin. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Look, he's not playing well, and they're not running the ball. That offense needs to get back to running the football. I mean, that's the McVay offense, and I think they're caught between being – what they wanted to be with Stafford and what they should be with McVay, which is running the football. But this is a great spot for the Rams. And the reason being, the Jaguars are 3-13 on the West Coast. Last time they went to the West Coast off the bye, Seattle, who stinks, just dominated them from start to finish. And this is another situation. If the Rams had won at Green Bay, I wouldn't like this game as much. But the fact that they're losing and they need this game, it's not going to be one where they overlook the Jaguars. I think they're going to be able to do whatever they want on offense, throwing the football. Even though the Jaguars' defense has been better lately. And on the other side of the ball, Aaron Donald might have 5 sacks in this game. He will line up against Ben Bartsch, their second-year guard, who had trouble with Grady Jarrett last week, and they will dominate the line of scrimmage. So for that reason, this might be one of my best bets. I normally don't want to lay 13, but I think Jacksonville gets blown to smithereens.
Yeah, I can't lay the 13 with how bad the Rams have looked. They're clearly the better team overall. They just haven't played well lately. So I thought the offense would have gotten right by this point. I'm not just going to assume they're going to get right versus Jacksonville. You said Jacksonville plays bad on the West Coast. I mean, they play bad everywhere. So, I mean, if we're going to start talking Jacksonville.
Talk about their history, though, in their history.
Okay, well, I care more about what's happened in the last few years than what's, you know, happening in 1997 or whatever. Jacksonville's offense hasn't scored more than 17 points the last 5 games. Speaking of recent history, nothing to respect in the passing game there. With Laquan Treadwell getting, you know, the number one looks, I guess, at this point with Dan Arnold hurt now. Rams defense is 3rd in yards per rush allowed. Shouldn't have much trouble shutting down Jacksonville, especially James Robinson, who went from limited practice on Wednesday to no practice on Thursday. So if he's out, that's a huge negative for Jacksonville. So I'm talking down Jacksonville, but I don't want to lay 13 with other Rams. Like if I'm playing this game, I'm playing the under 48 and just expecting Jacksonville not to score anything. And hopefully it's like a, you know, 20-10 type of game.
I got the Rams as a best bet too. Pete and I are going to sink or swim apparently. Look, again, the 3 teams that the Rams played over the course of their losing streak, San Francisco was a desperate team and people didn't realize that they were about to flip it around. The Titans are just the weirdest team in football. And they had those pick sixes and, or the one pick six, and Matthew Stafford had the bad picks. Don't get me wrong. But that's a pretty decent front for the Tennessee Titans. And then Green Bay, they played in a frosty, massive primetime NFC showdown. It sort of reminds me of the Cowboys with how the Rams are being treated, where if you took the three losses, right? Like the team's seven and four, right? 7-4. If you take the, isn't that right? Are they 7-4? Am I crazy?
That sounds right.
The Rams are, yeah.
Sounds right. Anyway, if you take the three losses and you spread them out over the course of the season, it's just not a big deal. But because the losses are clustered right here in the middle of the season, as everybody's making a playoff push, people are freaking the geek out. And I get it. Like, you don't want to lose three in a row. It's a bad look. But good teams they played. The Jaguars are a terrible team. And I agree that they need to start running, but I think this is a spot where, after all this stuff has been leaked out about Matthew Stafford's injuries and how he's fighting through all this stuff and how bad they played and you're losing to Green Bay, you come out of this is a get right game for Stafford. You run a bunch of play action, you let him wing it around. Cooper Kupp has a monster game, Tyler Higbee, big game. Maybe you get Odell Beckham involved and you have him blow up, and then everybody just relaxes. And the Rams win by 28 points. Everybody can settle down for a week and take some of the pressure off of you. This is a get right spot for the Rams. I love Rams minus 13. I like the Rams team total as well. Let's take a quick break. And we come back with the Broncos. Spoil one of our favorite bets in podcast history, because RJ may be fading a popular trend on the Pick Six podcast. Next.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Broncos at Chiefs. Chiefs minus 10. Over under 47. I'm not sure if you're aware, Pete, but Andy Reid's off the bye. Andy Reid's off the bye. Did you know that Andy Reid's coming off the bye?
Yeah, he is, and I know you love that. And we even mentioned your song on our show the other day.
Oh, yeah. That's nice of you. Did you make fun of me while you're doing it? I'm sure.
No.
Calling you skeptical.
I probably made fun of you a little bit. No, I didn't. it's a catchy song. You deserve credit for it. I like it. I had a tough time with this game, and because Andy Reid coming off the bye is so good. I think the Chiefs defense is playing much better. I don't believe in the Denver offense at all. And so I had a real tough time with this game. In the end, I lay the points with the Chiefs. I don't love it at all. Again, but I'd rather take Patrick Mahomes and that defense right now than Teddy Bridgewater and their defense. So I'm going to lay the 10.
I have best bet on Denver. Denver's won three of their last four. They're not getting much respect on this line, and I get it. I talked down Denver when they were on their early winning streak. I didn't think they were that good, but I just don't think they're getting respected at all here. Kansas City just 4-7 against the spread this year. They've closed higher than minus 7 only once. That was the Giants game. They were 10-point favorites. They won that by 3. I'm giving Kansas City full credit for being back. I have them number 2 in the power ratings. I have them, I think, 6 points better than an average team. And I still think this line's a little too high because I don't think Denver is as bad as this line's making it out. These teams played in Kansas City last year at this time, early December. Kansas City was on a much better, offense, much like 10-game winning streak, I think, when all was said and done going into the playoffs. And they won this game 22-16 with their offense rolling. That shows you that Denver kind of knows how to slow this offense down a little bit when it's playing well, and it hasn't necessarily been playing well the last couple months, except for that Raiders game. So the trend has been to fade Kansas City as big dogs. this season and going into last season, middle, the end of last season. I'm going to do it here with a team that's playing well. Denver plus 10. You can see it's come down a little bit, 9.5. I mean, once it gets to 9, I'm bailing. But at 10, I like Denver.
Yeah, Sunday Night Football, too, in case I didn't mention that. Not that that matters, but, I mean, you know, it is a primetime spot. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have been playing really well. You know, going into the bye, starting to turn things around, suddenly have everything in front of them to win the division, to even chase down the AFC number one seed. I mean, everything's on the table for the Chiefs. I mean, I really wish it was, like, Chiefs minus 7, right? I mean, and no bleep Sherlock, everyone would like Chiefs minus 7. But 10 is a ton of points, even for Andy Reid off the bye. However, I have a personal, you know, brand situation here with the song that I can't bail and take Denver. So even though I agree with you completely that the Broncos at plus 10 are probably a good bet, I simply can't do it. I have to take the Chiefs because of the song, because Andy Reid off the bye. Andy Reid.
How many times has Andy Reid covered the last 4 years off the bye?
I don't know the answer to that.
Once.
You? We should.
I mean, no,
once.
Sing the song. I think
that's probably when you started the song, right? 4 years ago. I think Brinson is the ultimate mush here. No. Andy Reid can't cover off the bye now. This is Brinson starting to
Reid off the bye. I mushed Andy Reid off the bye. Wow. It takes a lot to mush Andy Reid off the bye. He is, by the way, 19-3 straight up, 86% off the bye since 1990. But as you point out, you know, that's not against the spread. He just wins off the bye. It would be surprising if they lost. It wouldn't be surprising at all if the Broncos covered. I'm gonna take the Chiefs. I'm gonna stick with the brand and hope it works out. Again, not an intelligent football-based pick, a simple brand-based song pick for me in this spot. The 49ers, minus 3.5 at the Seahawks. I mean, what is this line pre-Russell Wilson surgery? Seahawks minus 3, right? I mean, it's a huge swing, but at the same time, I mean, Russell Wilson looks like crap, Pete. His hand is not right. He came back maybe three or four weeks too early. Brady Quinn called it the second he got hurt and said, and we all knew he was going to rush back because he's out there doing the fake handoffs and the fake play action passes and the fake huddles and looking for the cameras. And he wants people to know, oh, Russ heals so fast. He's such a great healer. And he comes back too early and he hasn't looked right. And it's hampered the Seahawks offense. Of course, so has Pete Carroll. But good news, they got Adrian Peterson. So now they can really establish a run in the spot.
Maybe he got too attached to his fake receivers and he won't throw the ball to DK Metcalf anymore. I mean, what is that? I don't get it. What are they doing? There. I mean, what are they doing? Get the ball to DK Metcalf. I don't understand what they're doing. And there's going to be big changes in Seattle. Now, whether Pete Carroll goes, maybe he wants to walk away. I mean, if you're Pete Carroll, you should have called USC. You could have got $10 million a year. for 10 years, although I don't think he's going to coach till he's 80. But I think the Seattle team is a mess. It really is. And that's going to show up. The 49ers are playing really good football. They're physically mauling teams in the run game. And I think they're going to maul the Seahawks in this game in the run game. I'm not making it a best bet, but I lean to San Francisco. There's no way I'm taking Seattle.
Our line was 3.5, and at that, at home, I wanted to take Seattle, and I could not talk myself into it. Seattle beat San Francisco earlier in the year, but they were thoroughly outplayed in that game. It was kind of a fake final. San Fran's clearly trending up while Seattle's trending down. You know, maybe there would be value on a slumping team for playing Seattle there. The look ahead was 2.5. I thought Russ looked a little bit better on Monday night. So maybe he's improving slowly, but you know, it's probably too little too late with this record. Seattle's defense gives up plenty of yards, but not points. For the last 5 games, opponents have scored no more than 17. With Debo out, I think it's probably going to be a lower scoring game. So that's another, you know, point in favor of Seattle. But once it gets to 3, I completely off Seattle. I'm like, probably 49ers probably win this game by 3. So I went and played a derivative in this game. I took Seattle's team total under 21.5 points. With how the offense is playing, I just don't see them putting up points against really any solid defense right now. So I think it's going to be a lower scoring game rather than play the total game under. I'm just going to play Seattle's team total under 21.5 since we get that key number of 21 under there.
Yeah, the San Francisco rush defense is actually really good. And I mean, I don't know. It's insane to me that you can, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see, you can actually, it's kind of cool in Caesars. You can, as RJ was pointing out, you can, there's a little bar you can shift. If you want to play a certain team total, like you can move the team total for the home and away team up or down. In other words, so you can adjust the juice, so you can get those derivatives.
Debo's like playing with San Francisco right now, so
oh yeah. Go down, scroll down to the home team, or go click.
You got to go to the home team, yeah.
But like, if you thought the Seahawks are going to score less than 17 points, you can see again, youtube.com/picksix. If you're watching in YouTube, whether you're live or watching it later, smash that like button if you don't mind and hit that subscribe button. So you can see you can get total points. You can slide that thing down to 17, Debo, and just see what it gives us. Because if you, or 18 and a half, there you go. There you go, 17. Like, if you think the Seahawks will score less than 17 points, you can get it at 2-1. Now, if they score 17 even, push, no harm, no foul. At any rate, I like the 49ers here. I don't love them. It's a 3.5 is a lot, or 3 with a ton of juice is just, it's a lot on the road. But it basically boils down, if you're betting on the Seahawks at any point over the next 2 or 3 weeks, it all boils down to, do you think that Russell Wilson is going to magically figure things out? And I can't buy it. The way that Brady Quinn, I know I mention this all the time, but like the way that Brady described how he dealt with that surgery, having the pins in his hand and then taken out. I mean, he says, he didn't want to, I don't think he wanted to say it because it sounded like making an excuse, but like, he said it affected every throw he made for the rest of his professional career because he didn't have the same feeling on the football. And Russ is adjusting that. I think psychologically it's messing with him. Physically, it's clearly messing with him. But like, mentally and psychologically, it is screwing him up. He didn't want to run. He doesn't trust himself holding the football the way that he used to. You can tell the ball's just not coming off right. He was sailing easy, short passes over his receivers' heads out of bounds. So I'm fading the Seahawks until further notice. And it adds to the fade when they get Adrian Peterson. Like, what are you going to do, establish a run more? As Pete points out, big changes are coming, and it's going to be a Pete Carroll or Pete or Russ situation. And I don't even know does Russ even want to stick around for a rebuild, even if Pete Carroll gets tossed and he gets to pick a new coach?
Probably not.
Bucks minus 11 at the Falcons. Tom Brady beat the crap out of the Falcons the last time, but there were two pick sixes in the fourth quarter that made it look like a bigger blowout than it might have been. Falcons are toast, but you know, they got a division rival. Maybe they get up for this. Bucks minus 11, over under 50.5, Pete.
Yeah, this comes down to the offensive line of the Atlanta Falcons against the front of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that's a major mismatch. And I thought, to be honest with you though, the Falcons offensive line played much better than I thought they would last week against Jacksonville. But Jacksonville's not Tampa when it comes to the defensive line. And I think you're going to pressure the quarterback. Matt Ryan's going to go down a bunch. That'll lead to turnovers and short fields. And I don't see how the Atlanta's going to stop Tampa Bay's offense. So for that reason, I don't like laying this many points in a second division game between teams, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to take Tampa Bay minus the points. I like the over in this game as well.
I like the over too. I'm actually like another derivative, Tampa Bay's team total over 30.5 as my play in this game. So I like the over, but I like that play a little more. I think Brady's going to make an MVP push. You know, I think he's probably the favorite right now. But he didn't, coming off of a not great statistical game with Fournette getting all the touchdowns, I think this is where he sees the Falcons on the schedule, Falcons bad defense, and he wants to put up some video game numbers in this game. It's amazing to me that Atlanta has 5 wins with how bad their team is. They could get routed here, I think. I think they could be just as bad as some of the other worst teams in the league. Each Tampa Bay Atlanta game since Brady's come to town, it's been 58 points or more. So that's another point in favor of the over. Atlanta has had less than 200 net passing yards in 4 of the last 5, though, and they're not going to run it on Tampa. So their offense needs to find some way to put points on the board if we are going to get this over. Otherwise, Tampa's going to have to score, 40 on their own. Should be a game, I think, where Tampa does score 38-41. Atlanta only needs those 2 touchdowns to push it over, ideally getting at least 1 in garbage time. So if you like the over, I'm fine playing it. I would play the Tampa Bay team total over and expect Brady to throw up 4 touchdowns as he's trying to win MVP here.
Yeah, the MVP angle is a very good one because, Brady's already won a Super Bowl with the Bucs. I think he would love to win an MVP at his age. You break that record, you win it with your new team, you win without Belichick. When Belichick's having success over there, I think they're watching each other that closely, but I don't think it's off the table. Plus, he's got he's doing all these docs. He'll come out with a new Man in the Arena 12-part series about his MVP win. And Tom Brady loves to troll the Falcons. Loves it. Like, he's constantly mentioning 28-3 and trolling Atlanta. It seems unnecessary given all the pain the Falcons have been through. Initially, I really liked the Buccaneers, but I do think those 2 pick sixes are maybe twisting this a little bit. We can see some Matt Ryan garbage time here. I'll take the Falcons, not as the best bet. I think the over is a very good look, and that team total over is probably smart, especially because if the Bucs get up big, it's entirely possible that Atlanta just sort of packs it in and calls it a day. Let me ask you something. Most important thing, of course, his health and getting his mental health and getting it right. Is there any chance Calvin Ridley comes back this year?
I would
be surprised, right?
I would be shocked.
Because I'm asking because I have to, because Antonio Brown is not playing in this game. And I have Calvin Ridley and Antonio Brown on the fantasy team. It's a must-win situation. You
know, you're talking about a man's mental health and you're worried about it from a fantasy standpoint.
No, that's why I said more important is his mental health.
Oh my God.
I'm asking, do you think I can drop Calvin Ridley, yes or no?
I say no. I think he can come back at any time. Like we don't know what he's going through. I can't give you.
He's eligible to come back.
Mental
whenever,
health,
right?
Yeah. So it's we don't know his situation, but these type of things. I think there's a chance that a guy just shows back up. You know, it's not like an injury where you have to rehab it. You know, and you have to be physically fit to get on the field. If he's mentally fit and he thinks that he can contribute for this team, he can be back at the drop of a hat. So, I would hesitate if I had him in fantasy, dropping him because he could just come back at any time. And we know how much of a difference he can make. And you don't want to drop him going into the fantasy playoffs. And then you see an opponent.
Is it a keeper league or are you in the playoffs?
No, it's either I'm either dropping him or Donta Foreman. This team is a disaster. I'm starting Carson Wentz, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jamal Williams. I have to find somebody to replace Antonio Brown. Tyler Lockett, Kyle Pitts.
Are you going to make the playoffs?
I am 7-5, and I'm like right there. I have to win to make – this is a win or a go home. So it's either drop Ridley, drop Brown, or drop Donta Foreman.
I think you could drop Foreman.
He's back this week. Yeah, drop Foreman.
Hilliard looks better than him anyway. So
yeah, let's go see what kind of crap receiver I'll pick up. I'll deal with this later. Nobody wants to hear about this on the pick show. I think the over is a very good play here. I don't know why I didn't look at it.
Let's put the over in the parlay then, because I played the team total over, but you know I played the over on Sportsline, the regular over. And it sounds like
over 50.5 joins the Bears plus the Bears plus 8 over 50.5 in this Tampa Bay game in our parlay. Chargers at the Bengals, the white hot Bengals laying 3 points at home against the Los Angeles Chargers with an over under of 50.5. Pete, Bengals are trying to make your Joe Burrow super 5 Super Bowls in 10 years prediction.
That's not what I said. I said 1-10 and they made it 2-10. They're playing well and they're playing well on defense. They're playing well on the offensive line again, which is, a surprise. I think they've made big strides there. And they're running the football. And the Chargers can't stop the run. The Chargers are bad run defense. And I think that's going to be in play here. I think Joe Mixon is going to have a big day. I am concerned about the way the Chargers play offense. I hate it. And I think they're taking a gunslinger with a big arm and they're turning him into a guy with a pop gun arm. I mean, it just makes no sense. They should be firing the ball down the field, playing fast, playing loose, playing free, and they don't do it. So for that reason, I'm going to take the Bengals in this game. Until they prove to me that they're going to use them the right way, I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, since he continues to pound the ball with Mixon, that hadn't been their MO before the last few weeks. But they saw the teams on the schedule and they just went to it. And that shows, you know, good coaching. And we're not going to just play the way we want to play. We're going to play the way that makes sense. So I think that they're going to still have good offensive numbers against the Chargers. Will Cincinnati's defense continue to have the same success if Herbert isn't gifting them turnovers like they got last week? I don't know, in that game that they had last week where they ran away with it. It's a rare cold weather game for Herbert, but I don't think that matters. He did fine last year in 40-degree weather. If it does feel to me like the stock's a little inflated on Cincy versus Chargers, I think these teams are probably close to even. If it pushes past 3, I might look at the Chargers, but it's hard to play against Cincy right now with how they're playing. So it's probably a stay away from me.
I got the Bengals as the best bet. The Chargers are the worst team in football against the run. They can't stop the run. And as you guys point out, they saw the schedule and they started pounding it. Mixon with, I think, 58 carries or something ridiculous the last 2 weeks. And not only does that offensive line look a lot better, everything, all the Penei Sewell stuff, like he can play as well as he wants, but Ja'Marr Chase has been fantastic. And the offensive line, the Bengals made their selection based on their belief, their in-house scouting of this offensive line, that it could come together and it could be a good unit that protects Joe Burrow and opens up holes in the run game. And they were right. It's working. The offensive line is mauling dudes. And Joe Mixon looks like an all-pro running back. Like he is running the ball so well right now, and this is a smash spot for Mixon. Love Mixon overs. Love the Bengals here. I think they blow out the Chargers, who are not good if you make them one-dimensional, because as Pete notes, Joe Lombardi has completely neutered Justin Herbert. Like, this was always the danger. It sounds stupid, but like a firing Anthony Lynn. And I know we all like Brandon Staley, but the biggest red flag for Brandon Staley is that he hired a guy to come in and have a low ADOT with the most like exciting quarterback prospect in 10 years or whatever, since Andrew Luck, maybe. I mean, what are they doing? You're ruining Justin Herbert. Make him look like a bust. Make me right. Just kidding. He's great. Colts, -9 at the Texans, over under 45.5. Oh, boy. No, I have a best bet on this game.
You've gone down with the teams like I've gone this week.
I got the worst, the ugliest dogs on the planet. But the reason I scratched my – I just dropped Dante Foreman in the aforementioned thing, and I picked up T.Y. Hilton because I'm starting Carson Wentz. Because T.Y. Hilton nukes the Texans every time he plays them. The Colts, 9-point road favorites in Houston, over under 45.5, Pete.
Yeah. Again, this is a big number for a road team, but that Texans team is so bad. You saw the Jets handle them last week. The Colts played well last week against Tampa Bay. Criticism about getting away from the run and not using Jonathan Taylor, but they scored enough points to win that game. I think they're going to get down here. They're going to win, get up like 17-3, get a late touchdown, maybe a field goal, make it 27-10. They're going to cover this number. I think the Texans are awful, so I'll take the Colts -9, even though I don't like to lay that many points on the road.
And it's 10 in the market right now, and I'm just not going to lay the 10. You know, in with Indy, I think they're the much better team. I just think that's too many points. But I'm not playing Houston. Houston looks bad too. Indy turned the ball over 5 times last week, still came close to beating the Bucs. But Bucs were geared up to stop the run, and you can say Indy should run more. They shouldn't throw as much. But if you're running against a team that's geared up to stop the run, you're not going to have success to that either. But so they were scoring the points. It just kind of fell apart with those turnovers. And Houston needed 5 turnovers to win. You know, in their game that they won recently, they, and I don't think the defense is going to get that this time. Indy's offense scored 30 plus in 6 of their last 7, despite facing Tampa, Buffalo, San Francisco, Tennessee in that stretch. Some good defenses, and they're scoring points. Houston's offense had just 202 yards against a horrendous Jets defense, so I don't know where their points are coming from. So it does make sense to play Indy 9. I would think about it 10. It's too much for me.
I don't know what I was thinking with the best bet on the Texans here. I don't want that. Take it off. I don't want it. I'll take the Texans against the spread.
Locked in.
I can take it off. It's my show. I can do what I want. I gave you that Bears line against the Ravens.
You didn't give me nothing. We picked that game.
RJ stumped for you. I'm not taking the Texans on the best bet. I want nothing to do with it. The Texans are terrible. I don't know. My logic was that they're going to stack the box against Jonathan Taylor, and then just Carson Wentz won't be able to throw against his garbage secondary. What am I talking about? The Colts are going to run roughshod over these guys. And if I'm stacking Wentz and T.Y. Hilton in my fantasy league, I don't want to be rooting against him for a best bet. So I'm eliminating that as a best bet. I don't know what I was thinking when I made it. I'll live with my picks on the site. I don't care, but they can't. The Texans are bad. They just lost to the Jets.
So how many best bets do you have now?
I'll tell you at the end of the show.
He's down. He's only down to 14 now instead of 15.
We have one more game left. It's Giants at Dolphins. I'm guessing we won't come to a consensus on that. So we need to find one more game for the parlay.
Pete's hands to think about while we talk about this game.
Okay. Giants at the Dolphins. Dolphins -4, over under 40.5. The line actually didn't move, I don't believe, despite the news that Daniel Jones is unlikely to play. Joe Judge keeps acting like he might play, but I think it's going to be Mike Glennon's season. I cannot wait to win $1 million stacking my boy Mike Glennon against this Dolphins defense. 0.000001 ownership on a stone cold man, Mike Glennon, in DFS this weekend. Am I an insane person, Pete?
Yes, you're insane. By the way, Jamie made a joke the other day. He said he kind of chuckled when we were doing FFT about how Daniel Jones is missing the game with a neck injury.
Yeah, everyone on Twitter made that joke. I saw that.
I mean, yeah, they really are. That's your guy, Mike Glennon.
I love Glennon.
He's
he's
an NC State guy.
All funny joke. I think Glennon. I once photoshopped Glennon with a giraffe with a shotgun. Take that off.
Was that Wednesday? Is that tweet from playing at NC State or before?
No, he's running as a. I think he was running as an NC State guy. All right, bring up the.
Last year, Pete.
From last year, okay. That's right. There you go.
Okay, all right.
Bring up the. Bring up the Caesars.
Bring up Caesars so we can get to that. Like, the problem for me in this game will be the Dolphins' defensive line, which suddenly is playing great football. And the scheme has really helped them out. They do so many creative things up front. Jalen Phillips has become a full-fledged, bona fide, good edge rusher. And they've been looping him around. They move him inside at times. He had 3 sacks last week. Should have had 4 because Wilkins ended up falling on the guy after he knocked him down and got credited for him. And I think that's the biggest mismatch in this game. Tua's playing better. So I'm going to take Miami minus the points based solely on their fact that I think their defensive line is going to beat up the Giants' front.
Tua versus Herbert. Who you got now, Pete?
Oh, come on. You're not serious.
I guess
Tua's playing good football.
Tua is playing good football, but you're not serious. Tua versus Herbert.
Just wanted to see the
Dolphins trade him.
If Tua gets Joe Lombardi, how does he –
Yeah, that's the problem. Joe Lombardi, that's the problem. The offensive system is terrible.
Right, and I think that's – I wanted to bring that up because that's the thing about Mac Jones, too. People are like, Mac Jones, that was stupid passing on him. Everybody should have took him. He's the best quarterback. He's the rookie of the year. It's like, yeah, but he got put in the right system, and he got put with the right team. Like, if he's on Jacksonville now, he doesn't look like this. He just kind of – it depends on who you're surrounded by. So I think it's a lot of nature versus nurture with these quarterbacks, and people don't give enough credit to what the coaches do when they get them. So this line did actually move. It was 3 before the Jones news pushed it to 4. Maybe it'll come back down if Jones does play. The Giants' offense has been terrible the last 2 weeks. Miami's defense has dominated during their 4-game win streak, like Pete was saying. Their offense appears to be improving. They had a great game against a good Carolina defense. With Giants terrible in the red zone, I think they're 32nd in the red zone in terms of getting touchdowns. They need a big play. They need big plays to win if other teams aren't just gifting them turnovers like the Eagles did last week. Are they going to get big plays? Depends on who's healthy. You know, it just seems like they can't get all the receivers on the field at the same time. But way to DVOA has the Giants as the better team here, which is interesting considering Miami's win streak right now. You would think that Miami would be the better team in way to DVOA, but they think the Giants are. So I guess this offense has some upside once it's healthier. With a switch to Kitchens at OC, couldn't be any worse than Garrett, even though they didn't play well last week. If Jones plays and the Giants are north of 3, I'll probably lean that way. But I don't love it. I'm staying away.
I'm taking the Giants. That was the best bet, but I do like the Giants. I think the Giants actually win the game. I'm dead serious. I'm playing a Mike Glennon. I'm going to do Mike Glennon, Sterling Shepard, Jalen Waddle bring back. And it's going to give me – it's going to open up everything. Because it's $4,000 quarterback in DraftKings. You don't get that $4,000 quarterback. Huge game for Mike Glennon. And then I won't be here on Monday because I'm going to retire when I win the Millie Maker. But I will be back next Thursday because I'll show up and remind you that I won $1 million.
Neck jokes about Mike Glennon if he wins you $1 million.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll buy a house next to Mike Glennon if I want $1 million. Anywho, that's not a best bet, but I do like the Giants to win the game. We need to find one more game.
Wasn't I?
India's Washington. Won. What's that? Sorry, RJ.
India's won. I think we all kind of were leaning Indy. Correct me if I'm wrong. Now that you're off of Houston, that's one possible. I mean, if
RJ
you guys want to
like
go,
the Lions. RJ doesn't like the Lions at all, right?
You guys like
don't like the Lions. If you guys want to go Rams, I'd be fine with that. I don't trust the Rams, but it seems like both
like
you guys
the
love them.
I like
Rams,
the Bengals.
Rams, Bengals, who's the one? Rams, Bengals, or Colts, I think.
Go ahead and pick.
My vote would, I guess, be for the Rams in that one.
Okay.
Right, Rams are Colts. We're getting a point of value with the Colts on this 9, so it's okay. Not really in the market. So maybe we go the Rams.
Yeah, let's go Rams, because if we do Colts, it's not fair to – like anyone who's betting it will have to bet it at 10, and that, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so Bear, the won't hit, Loserville, Clown Show Parlay. It's a new name. Bears +8, Bucks, Falcons over 50.5, Rams -13. What do you think about it for the rest of?
You know what's funny? I'm thinking if we added a fourth team, we're going to win it. So why don't we add a fourth team and try and get to help people sure, get some of their money back? Right? Why not? Have some fun with it.
All right.
So pick the set. I picked the Rams on that one. So somebody
pick
the
RJ. You
one.
Pick. You pick the. Oh no, RJ. RJ, you pick. Who do you want? Let's see. I'll see if we can get.
Well, if we're not doing Indian minus nine.
I don't so do the Bengals.
I don't love the Bengals. Let's see. We did that over. Like, is there was there an like, under you guys like liked?
Did you like any of the over unders? Do you like the Raiders Washington over? No.
I don't have. I don't. Whatever you told me.
49.5 I mean, I'm kind of ambivalent at 49.
Cardinals Bills. I mean, Cardinals Bear. Cardinals Bears under. You like that, RJ? I'll go.
Yeah, 45.5 We could play that under. I mean, I don't think
we got the Bears. Let's just stick with three teams.
All right.
A lot of sites aren't going to let you put the Bears and the under in that game into the same parlay. So probably can't put that in there.
Let's do three teams. I'll bet it. That'll guarantee it. No, actually, I won't bet it. I'll stay away from it. Okay. Best bets for the week. Pete Prisco's best bets are the Bears plus 8, the Rams minus 13, the Steelers plus 4.5, the Lions plus 7, the Jets plus 6.5, and the Raiders Washington over 49.5. RJ's best bets: Philly minus 6.5, head to head, Denver plus 10, Chicago plus 8, Tampa Bay team total over 30. RJ had a bad week. He's getting cute with some team totals. Tampa Bay team total over 30.5, Seattle team total under 21.5, and a teaser, Washington plus 8.5 and New England plus 8.5, a teaser that I love, but I promised not to wager on in order to help RJ's chances of
it
hitting.
Where are your best bets in this document, by the way? I don't see them.
My best bets are Debo's supposed to fill them out, or I'm supposed to fill them out, but I didn't send them. Pats plus 2.5, Bears plus 8, Lions plus 7, Rams minus 13, Bengals minus 3. Are my best bets.
I would have.
So you have.
Yeah, I went with those two team totals. I like Washington. I have Washington, New England's best bets too. I just didn't want to double up with them and the teaser and you know try to get three wins out of two games. So I just threw those team totals in instead to give people a little variety.
So what I had, five total? Yeah, that's fine.
Princeton's got just three of the same games I got. I'm done.
Let's go. Let's stay hot. Big week, 10-5 against the spread last week on all the games. Stay hot. All right, that's it for the show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review on podcast apps. And, of course, smash that like button if you're watching on YouTube. For Pete and RJ and Brinson, we'll see you guys later.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.